The adventures continued until Annette, as legal guardian, finally intervened with a court order. They fought again over the money, but Ron knew what was best. The condo was sold, and Ron went to another nursing home. He was not abandoned by his true friends. Dennis Fritz knew Ron was struggling to find a stable routine. He suggested that Ron come to Kansas City and live with him. He would monitor Ron's medication and diet, make him exercise, and force him to cut back on the drinking and smoking. Dennis had discovered health foods, vitamins, supplements, herbal teas, and such, and was anxious to try some products on his friend. They talked about the move for weeks, but Annette eventually vetoed it. Greg Wilhoit, now a full-fledged Californian and raging death penalty abolitionist, begged Ronnie to move to Sacramento, where the living was easy and laid back and the past was truly forgotten. Ron loved the idea, but it was more fun to talk about than to actually pursue. Bruce Leiba found Ron and offered him a room, something he'd done many times in the past. Annette approved, and Ron moved in with Bruce, who at the time was driving a truck. Ron rode shotgun and thoroughly enjoyed the freedom of the open highways. Annette predicted that the arrangement would last no more than 3 months, which was Ron's average. Every routine and every place soon bored him, and 3 months later, he and Bruce argued over something neither could remember. Ron moved back to Tulsa, stayed with Annette for a few weeks, then rented a small hotel suite for 3 months. In 2001, 2 years after the release of Dennis and Ron, and almost 19 years after the murder, the Ada police concluded the investigation. Then 2 more years passed before Glenn Gore was moved from the prison at Lexington and put on trial. For a host of reasons, Bill Peterson did not prosecute the case. Standing before a jury and pointing to the defendant and saying something like, "Glenn Gore, you deserve to die for what you did to Debbie Carter," would have been a hard sell, since he'd pointed at 2 other men and made the same accusation. Peterson begged off on conflict of interest grounds, but sent his assistant, Chris Ross, to sit at the state's table and take notes. A special prosecutor was sent in from Oklahoma City, Richard Wintery, who, armed with the DNA results, got an easy conviction. After hearing the details of Gore's long and violent criminal record, the jury had no trouble recommending the death penalty. Dennis refused to follow the trial, but Ron couldn't ignore it. He called Judge Landreth every day and said, "Tommy, you gotta get Ricky Joe Simmons." "Tommy, forget Gore. Ricky Joe Simmons is the real killer." One nursing home led to another. Once he grew bored with a new place or wore out his welcome, the phone calls would start and Annette would scramble to find another facility willing to care for him. Then she would pack him up and make the move. Some of the homes reeked of disinfectant and looming death, while others were warm and welcoming. He was in a pleasant one in the town of Howe when Dr. Susan Sharp paid him a visit. Ron had been sober for weeks and felt great. They drove to a lakeside park near the town and went for a walk. The day was cloudless, the air cool and crisp. "He was like a little boy," Dr. Sharp said, "happy to be outside in the sun on a beautiful day." When he was sober and medicated, he was a delight to be with. That night they had a date, dinner in a nearby restaurant. Ron was quite proud of himself because he was treating a nice lady to a steak dinner.